Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for Dr. Stephen Fitzgerald, his friend Drew, all their friends and family, and all our friends and family worldwide. That includes you.
Welcome to Joyce, Barry, and Friends. We are broadcasting live across America and around the world. This is the Hour to Empower with stimulating talk, views you can use, memorable quotes, and powerful life lessons. We always have hot guests and cool topics. We even have cool guests and hot topics. You always want to tune us on, tune in, and tune up with us to hear the best of the best. You do not want to miss any of our shows. Each show goes into our archives. Log into JoyceBarryandFriends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and you will see each guest and each topic on our homepage. You can play and download any of our shows, always informative, inspiring, and motivational. You want to share these special shows with your friends, family, and contacts. You can follow us on Facebook and become a Joyce Barry subscriber and even a fan by going to our Joyce Barry and Friends fan page. Be sure to check like. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us by going to our Blog Talk Radio homepage and clicking follow right below my picture. You can also message me in any of these venues about our show, about our guests, about anything. My official website is JoyceBarry.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. The chat room is open. Log into the chat room, have fun, and chat away. I go back and forth into the chat room during the show to see what is going on in there. Motivation, inspiration, and an education. Positive, happy thoughts to improve your life, health, and finances. Take positive actions to create a gratifying lifestyle. Life lessons from me, your host, Joyce Barry, straight from the Coach's Corner. And then you will hear from our wonderful guest today. Folks, every day should be treated like a special day. We wish you the finest of friends, the opulence of opportunities, the magic of miracles, and the happiest of days. May this year be your best year ever.
What a show we have today. What a guest we have today. He is the prestigious and distinguished guest, Dr. Stephen Fitzgerald, the Director of Faculty Development at Trident University in Orange County, California. He is an organizational psychologist, and he has written countless articles for his peers. However, I would say that the most important thing on his resume, the most acclaimed thing on his resume, is that literally he was the first person I ever hired when I went into my own business many, many decades ago. We have remained close friends to this day. He is extraordinary. He is very special. And one of the things things I cherish most dearly is when I'm a guest in his beautiful home and the way I'm treated there. Believe me, I'd rather be there than any hotel anywhere in the world. Welcome to the show, Dr. Stephen Fitzgerald.
Hi, everybody, and good morning. It's great to be here, Joyce. Always wonderful to be with you.
And always same for me about being with you. Today we will discuss Trump mania. Dr. Fitzgerald will shed some light on what we can do and what we can't do with all that is happening in America with President Donald Trump at the helm. All Americans need to be willing and able to stand up and speak up for any challenges to our democracy. We must all fight for democracy everywhere, every time, and every way it is threatened. As President John F. Kennedy said, if not us, who? If not now, when? So, Dr. Steve, where do you want to start as we get into Trump mania? Where shall we begin?
You know, I think the very first step is really just to light your hair on fire and run around the room.
That's how we all feel today. Believe me. Stop the insanity and stop it now. So what we can do to make this insane world a sane one, what can we do?
I'm not sure that we can make it sane, but we can make ourselves sane. And so, you know, most people know the old adage in terms of how our bodies are wired to respond to stress, and that's referred to as the fight or flight response. When we're confronted with a perceived threat, we're pumped full of adrenaline to either confront the challenge or to flee from it. So, you know, and that's the case whether it's a physical challenge like we, you know, see a bear coming at us that's twice as big as we are, or a lion or a leopard or something, or you know, or it's a perceived threat, like your mother-in-law is coming, and so, you know, or you're going to have a job with your boss. There's a sense of anticipation about what's going to happen. And that can lead to fear, which actually mobilizes biochemical responses in the body. So I'm just using that as a metaphor for sort of to map out two sorts of reactions that I know people have been having in terms of the election. Those people who were not supporters of Donald Trump, and it's important to note that many people in the country voted for Trump, not necessarily as a vote for Trump. There are certainly a core of people who voted for Trump, but there are also people who cast their vote, elected Trump.
Against Hillary.
But not only against Hillary, but just because they had no better alternative in their minds, you know, or because there are many Americans who, but based on their deeply held religious beliefs, feel that federal support for abortion is wrong, is just deeply wrong, and that we're slaughtering, innocent beings day by day in this country, and that they have a moral conviction to stop that. And although they would hold their noses at Trump in many ways, they see this as a way to, potentially make a difference in that, and they have a moral obligation to do it. So there were a lot of reasons, a lot of reasons that the vote went the way it did. And the two different kinds of reactions that I've been aware of that people have been having are fight or flight, and so could be characterized that way. So flight is in my household, my partner was like, I wouldn't even let me watch the news after the election. I could not take watching the news. Can't deal with it anymore. I'm so tired of Trump dominating the media cycle day after day after day for, you know, over a year already, and now more to come. And just, you know, the endless caustic response and discussion and outrage and all the rest of it is just too unsettling. So, but I would say that that is a way of people taking care of themselves. So one way of people taking care of themselves is to say, I need to disengage. I need to pull back. I need to, take care of myself. For those who are peace, committed to peace in the world, excuse me, I'm sorry, those who are have a background in meditation, in collective consciousness and things like that, folks like that, it's time now more than ever to kick into gear, bringing peace and stillness in one's being into the world. Because if you believe that that makes a difference, then this is the time to really act on that belief for all involved, so that we don't continue to escalate the stress, the tension, the animosity, and so on and so forth. So that's one direction. And I wanted to say that, we could criticize one another for our friends and family members who choose to take care of themselves in that way. On the other hand, there are those who are in the fight mode. And that is, as Joyce, you said at the beginning, it's fighting for our democracy. We have to fight for our democracy. We have to fight for what we believe in. We have to fight for civil rights. We have to fight for common decency and respect, and so many different values that are being or appear to be being challenged, deeply challenged, if not undermined, in this with the current administration. So one thing that you may not be aware of, and I want to make sure your listeners are aware of, is something called the Indivisibles Movement. So for those of you who are interested in getting into action, who are, who are opposed to any of the kinds of things that are going on currently with the Trump administration, or who want to be involved in having their voices heard, there is a movement that it was created by former congressional staffers who created a guide that reveals best practices for making Congress listen. If you go on the internet, you can look for www.indivisibleguide.com, IndivisibleGuide.com. This was just started as something like, here's how it actually works in real practice based on their experience of working as congressional staffers, of how you can get your congressional representatives to listen. And you can download the guide, or you can take action locally. And what you can do there is go on and enter your zip code and find if there are any indivisible groups in your area. So when I go on and I look at my area in San Diego, California, there's probably about 20 different groups that have sprung up with names like Change Begins With Me, Meetup Impeach Trump, another one called May You Live in Interesting Times, another one called Movers and Shakers, Together We Will, Defending Our Future, Indivisible and California 52nd District, Indivisible Resistance, the Counter Movement, Aim High, and on Truth Not Tweets, and so on and so forth. So if you've been sitting at home watching TV and just aching to get involved, or you've even been calling your congressman, your senator, or writing letters or things like that, this is a way to connect with other people and to do that in a coordinated way, and to get support and to really engage in some actions that have been found to be effective in the past. And I'll pause there for a minute, Joyce. I'll let you jump in.
Yeah, I gotta say, first of all, I never heard of it. So I am so grateful to have this website, because there's so many people I talk to like me. What can we do? I know a lot of people, are doing things locally, writing to their congressmen. So I just clicked on it now. Indivisible, and folks, it's IndivisibleGuide.com. And like Steve said, Dr. Steve said, you just put in your that you can download the guide, you can take action locally, and get all the information from the PDF, which I certainly will do, because there is nothing worse than really freaking out, getting sick over it, rather than using that energy to make a difference and do something.
Absolutely. And so there's a few things I want to say about that. Now, I have been meaning to get involved in a group, and I haven't so far. And, the challenge is that so many people are busy professionals. They've got families and, involved in their synagogue or their church or their mosque or their community. And so time to focus on these things is relatively limited. But, the worst thing is feeling like you're powerless and hopeless. That's one of the worst things that can lead to depression and or fuel depression. And so knowing that you can, that there are these opportunities out there, and even just sending a note of your support and wanting to be on their list and, those kinds of things, they'll feel supported in that as well. And another thing is that if you are listening and you're in an area and you put in your zip code and you don't see any of these indivisible groups near you, you can start one. If you have two or three friends, you can say you want to register a group and just, create a name for yourself. And then what will happen is that when other people in your area who may be also looking and saying, gosh, there's nothing in my area, now you've got a place to draw people to and engage together. This is particularly important. Like here, it's obviously just about any place in along the coast, at least in California, you look, you're going to find these groups. California is one of the most democratic states in the country. But you have listeners in states that are, generally lean Republican. And so having these is a good way to, be able to connect with people in your area and also have a voice to your congresspeople who may not be hearing some of the opposition, especially as, questions come up about things to be done to Obamacare or other things that might affect you directly. So this is just very inspiring, and it is, I've heard discussions from interviews with people who had been involved in, and actually there was a Republican strategist for the Tea Party movement when it was first launched, and talking about the similarities between the launch of the Tea Party movement and this indivisible movement. So there's similarities there. It's a kind of way of having organized resistance, and it's already apparently having some impact in congressional action, because the Democrats are like, I would say for myself, my values would say, well, let's try to find common ground. Let's not, it's the old adage. It's like, well, do you want to model the behavior you want to see, or do you want to, do tit for tat? And so, Democratic caucus has been, wrestling with that. Do we try to find areas to work with the Trump administration on and Congress on, the Republican Congress on this, or do we simply oppose everything as pretty much the Republicans did when Obama got elected? And what we've seen in the past week, really, is and maybe 2 weeks, is a move more toward just total opposition rather than looking for areas of agreement so far, but we'll see how that progresses. So this is
there's a way to channel
your energy, and that's the main point here. There are different ways to channel your energy. They are all legitimate, and I think we have to honor the different parts of ourselves too. So it's important to not be so caught up in the television news, which is designed to fuel your anxiety and fear.
Yes, Steve,
okay?
I just wanted to say, when you talked about bringing everyone together, compromise, we've seen in all the actions that's been taken, he's only in office a couple of weeks, already the whole world is laughing at us. They lost respect for us. He's made the world and America a much worse place. So I love to hear about this. I really didn't know anything about it, and it's quite impressive. But everybody was feeling doom and gloom until right after the election, when we saw the marches, the people coming out in,
yes,
in such numbers.
Yeah, the women's
numbers.
Marches. And, the,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
we stopped feeling we're alone. Look what is happening here all over the world. It wasn't just our country. It was all over that people wanted to stand up against the copycat for the Putin rule book of authoritarian government, which is
right.
clearly what it is. Everyone that disagrees with this president, there are tweets immediately going out, and he goes after them, whether it's journalists, Supreme Court, justices, wherever you turn, you disagree with him, and that is the Putin rule book. He compliments him on every turn and knocks everything we know about, stand for, believe in, trust in, he knocks. So I think we're past looking for a way to get together. I just look, one other thing, because I get very heated on this. When Ivanka was let go by Nordstrom's, Donald Jr., immediately tweeted, rip up your credit cards, close your accounts. This is coming from the family of our president. This is all bullying tactics and so beneath the office and the family. So we're way past how can we make it work, because they take on everyone and everything that disagrees with them. And here Nordstrom's is all over the world. And look how many people they're employing. Rip up your credit cards and close your accounts. So there's no going back here. There's no going back.
Right, and so I would that kind of outrage, you know, is justified and makes so much sense. I know I hear these things, and I'll speak for myself. Within myself, I try to work with the. So, for example, we're talking about should Democrats work with the Trump administration on things that they might agree with, because obviously, Trump is. Not a traditional Republican in many ways, and the Republicans themselves, many Republicans, you know, torn them apart. So, you know, but if Trump is moving through, for example, an enormous infrastructure improvement program that will improve our bridges and roads, it hasn't happened yet, but I'm just, to my knowledge, but this was something he campaigned on, which was something that Obama did and tried to expand in his early years, and the Republicans opposed it at nearly every turn. But now Trump is, you know, wants to propose something like that, which our infrastructure is crumbling. I want to take it out of sort of like the things like Nordstrom and, you know, world leaders and all that, which is all true, but bring it down to a practical level. And so he's wanting, you know, if he proposes funding for major infrastructure improvement around the country, which is desperately needed, do Democrats oppose that simply because they're opposed to Trump? And I think those are the difficult kinds of questions. It's like, where do we partner with the enemy, basically, or the perceived, you know, devil, in order to get some things that we want, which is the decision that some voters made in voting for him. It's like, I can't stand his inauthenticity about this and the way he speaks about women and so on and so forth. But if I can get this one major thing that's important to me accomplished, then I don't have an answer to that. And I think everybody has to make their own decision. But I think these are the kinds of kinds of questions that the people joining together in indivisible groups and in other ways will have to wrestle with as we move along,
Stephen,
through this administration.
Stephen, you posed a very good thing, and I totally get it. If there is good, why don't we go along with that? Because you can't make a pact with the devil. He's not a perceived devil. Since he's been running, there is such a vast amount all over the world of anti-Semitism rising up. It is so bad and getting considerably worse since he brought in Steve Bannon, who's a known former involved with the KKK, definitely anti-Semitic. That's happening all around the world. So to take a little kink in the arm and, oh, we did something good, it's just really hard to see past the anti-Semitism, past the people that he's putting in his cabinet that have no clue what they're doing, the climate change, the country is for it. They're not listening to any of us. They put someone in charge of that who's anti-climate change. Education, a woman without one day experience in the public school system. So he's saying, and he went on relating to the little guy, relating because he's such a master at having his message begotten, but who was he putting in the cabinet? All billionaires. That's with a B, billionaires. So no, I don't want to make
absolutely,
a pact with
absolutely,
devil.
And you know, all of these things are true. And what you were talking about in terms of anti-Semitism, I've been looking to see if I could find the program that I was listening to on NPR on the way home last night from Orange County. I have a long drive. And I was listening to an interview with an author of a book that's just out. I don't remember. I was driving. I didn't get it down. I can't really find it right now on the internet. But this author has written a book about the origins of our modern rage. And this, he talks about in the late 18th century, when democracy was, you know, was being, people were envisioning new types of governing systems. When they were saying, okay, now that we're not going to be ruled by, a theocracy or an autocracy, when we're not going to be ruled by the monarch, how should we be governed? And so the ideas, part of his argument was that, and he traced a thread of critique about democracy and shortcomings of democracy as democracy itself, as designed and envisioned, has the potential to generate rage, because there's this gap, as I understood what he was trying to say, there's this gap between this espoused value of we are all equal in a democracy, it's one voice, one vote, versus the reality that we're not all equal. And that gap can generate rage. So if you think about some of what you were talking about earlier, Joyce, think about how women coped, for example, with not owning property, with not being able to vote, the suffrage movement that happened over so many years of time. Think about, African American, long march. Think about, the oppression of Jews. Think about the oppression of gays. Think about what different, minority groups have undergone in this march toward a vision of equality and equal treatment. So there have been catalytic events like this election that generated an outpouring of people hitting the streets that so many people said, I haven't seen anything like this since the 60s. But that event catalyzed those voices to be lifted up and brought together. Well, in a certain way, I see the election as being an outlet for a rage that had been hidden for people who, as we've all talked about, it's been all over the trying to explain and understand the news, that are just fed up with the intransigence in Congress, with the can't move anything forward, that it just seems like there's so much corruption, that the money going into political campaigns and through political action committees and so on and so forth, and people who are in the working class white minority out in rural areas being largely forgotten, not brought into the voice of common discourse in the country, not being considered as very important, resources pouring into urban areas and not into rural areas, whole towns being hollowed out, and that kind of decay could be seen as generating that kind of rage, because it's so inconsistent as well with our sense. And so, while it is easy for me and easy for us, I would say, to scapegoat Trump, and there is every reason to do that. Trump is an outcome of dynamics in our society. He's not the cause of them. Now he is a cause. But I would say, what is it that led to that? Because if we don't address those things, then we will only exacerbate the conditions that could lead to even worse things in the future. One final thing, and then I'll be quiet for a minute, is that something that this author said that was very, very, I want to understand better what he was saying, was that these kinds of dynamics in a democracy can lead to a deep-seated desire for a strong man to come in and rule, for a strong hand, for a strong leader. And this is exactly what we've got with, or at least people, you know, who voted that way perceive with Trump. He presents himself that way as this ironclad, I'm the only one who can do this. You know, I'm really tough. I'm going to, you know, tear up the fabric of this system that's just not working anymore. You know, and so there's something about the dynamics. There may be something, according to this author, in the dynamics of how our democracy is constructed itself that can generate deep-seated rage that remains hidden for a long time, and also that can lead to the desire for the elevation and election of an autocratic leader. So I thought that was all
totally
fascinating.
I get what you were sharing. It was like he gave permission for all the bad guys to come out of the woodworks, from the Ku Klux Klan, white supremacists, anti-Semitic people, people against civil rights. It's like he opened up that door.
If you think about it, what was the big outrage that at least I remember that started this whole, you know, the very early days of the Republican primary, was Trump's focus on, you know, we're too politically correct. That's too politically correct. We're too politically correct. And, you know, and so he basically, you know, that was the gateway to open up. It's okay, you can really say what's in your hearts and on your minds. You don't have to, you know, mince your words here. And as I said to one friend here in California, a friend's mom, I really didn't know which way she'd be leaning at the time, and then found out that she was not a fan of Trump and was very afraid. It's not so much what's deeply concerning is not as it's yes it's Trump, but it's more what's in the hearts of the people that this has revealed. That's what's most disturbing.
Well, so much of it is disturbing wherever you turn. I just want to share some of my favorite quotes to put things in perspective, to support people in going to that invisible movement. And I will get that word out. I had not heard about it till today.
Indivisible.
What did I say? Invisible?
Yes. It had been invisible to you, but it's indivisible.
Indivisible. One nation, justice for all. All right. Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. I'm going to say for good men and women to do nothing. Also, he said, nobody made a greater mistake than he who did nothing because he could do only a little. Shimon Peres, a great, great leader of Israel, said, it is better to be controversial for the right reasons than to be popular for the wrong reasons. And I cite that because I think of every single Republican who is not voting their conscience. Word leaked out a lot where they didn't want to vote for some of these people, but they want to be popular. They don't want to get into Trump's firing range. so so Shimon Peres says it's better to be controversial for the right. So they're being popular for all the wrong reasons. Voltaire said, every man is guilty of all the good he did not do. And those who can make you believe absurdities, which is what we have with all these alternative facts, those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. So for everyone, it's bringing up all that took place in Europe and where it started. I don't even like to say the name, but with the Hitler regime. And that is what is so fearful. Those who can make you believe the absurdities. And here from the White House, we have alternative facts every day. We have out and out lies every day, lies that can be proven to be lies as such. So we are in very scary times, and there's so many people that I know and respect that did vote for Trump. I call them the Trumpets, and I keep saying to all day long, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they did.
And for your listeners who may be in the market for some high-quality alternative facts, I now have launched a business, and I am selling very high-quality alternative facts and making them available via my website. So I think that this is a growing market and something I'd like to serve.
I know you're being funny, Steve, but the folks who don't know you, you're just trying to add a little humor to a very serious situation. So what did you put up on there that you want to sell the Brooklyn Bridge at a good price? But for people that are so serious about what's going on, they won't be able to hear
know.
It.
Well, you know what you were talking to about. You were talking to before about not acting, let's say Republicans, but anyone not acting according to their values and their conscience on certain things, and wrestling with those. I think there's a lot of, and also in fear of being decimated by a tweet. I heard a very interesting program a couple of days ago. And it's a program about how technology is not just it's not just changing our lives; it's changing our reality. And they gave a story of a young woman who was getting on a plane to go to home to South Africa, and she tweeted something sarcastically. I don't remember what it was, but it sounded. If you didn't know her and you didn't know the context of, you know, the type of humor, it sounded really overtly racist. You know, it was like something like, oh, I'm going to Africa. I hope I don't pick up HIV. She doesn't really believe that. It was just like that stereotypes about what people think about going to Africa. And she was saying that. Well, she had had something like, 300 followers to her Twitter feed before she got on the plane. By the time she got off the plane, this had traveled around the world. People were leaving her, hate threats and, messages to contacting her employer, telling that they should fire her. And it wound up ruining her life, because it was sort of like what she had put out there in the universe had taken on an entire life of its own. And that virtual life of its own had turned around to destroy her real life, her life in the real world. And we see this, I think people are terrified of this because they've seen what can happen with a tweet from Trump. And we've seen it. There's also now people studying, you may have heard this, there are people studying and corporations are looking at having proactive strategies in case Trump tweets something about them, because we've seen the stock price of a company change within as much as 4 seconds after a tweet from the president that mentions that company's name, for good or for bad. So there's this world going on in cyberspace that is reacting to things, that is trying to make bets about how things will affect other things and so on and so forth, and it's having an impact on people's lives. And I think people are, are rightfully afraid of things that once it gets out into the world, the things that they can't control.
And what we want to have an impact on your life, and you can count on it being in a very positive way, is listening to this show every day. And hearing the words of our very worldly famous health guru, author, and poet, her voice, her words, Beverly Nadler.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day. A way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy, make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce, Barry, and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, we do ask that you partner up with us in having that happen. Simply go to Joyce Barry, Barrie, and Friends.com. You will see my picture on the upper left of the homepage, and right under that it says follow. And if you click on that, you need not miss any of our extraordinary shows. You will find out about every show, every guest, every topic through your emails. So a lot of people, like world-renowned psychic Peter Marks, we have the exclusive with him, and he's on every single month, and you want to know when he's on so you could call in for your free on-air mini questions and concerns address. So we have many people, extraordinary shows, every topic, because we want to reach all of you, and we want to see this as an indivisible nation where we're all positive and peace-loving and living by the golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Back to you, Steve.
Thank you, Joyce, and thank you for those beautiful thoughts. I think it's very helpful. The quotes you picked were really perfect today. There was something else that the author last night about the sources of rage and so on was pointing to, and I want to mention this here too because it's front and center right now with the travel ban and selecting the seven countries and to single out and whether this is an anti-Muslim ban, which is what Trump had promised, and so on and so forth. And he was arguing that the equating of terrorism with Islam is ridiculous. He went through the history of terrorism actually being the worst episodes of terrorism actually being in the last, not the last century, in the 19th century, with significant heads of state being assassinated in both Europe and America, which laid the groundwork for subsequent wars and so on and so forth. And you know, I think here, and it's fun, I haven't seen this brought up in any news broadcast, was the years' worth of Catholic and Christian terrorist fighting in Northern Ireland over many, many years, and bombings in London, by the Irish Republican Party, and so on and so forth. And so he was just pointing that the talking about at 1.3 or 1.5 billion people in the world who are of claim Islam as their faith. To talk about, a war on Islam, or that, it's just, I do understand it in terms of dynamics in the Middle East, for sure, and there's certainly truth to, jihadist Islam, but I think it was sobering. He also talked about the origins of suicide bombing coming from Hinduism. And so, it was just providing a larger historical and global cultural perspective on that. But that's a side issue. So, for me, I applaud those who have already been finding ways to take action. Thank you to all those who participated in the women's marches around the country. And in the
around
protests
the
that, in around the world, and in the protests, about the travel ban, and in other protests that have been going on, or who have been engaged in calling their Congress people, writing letters, and so on. So, for those of you who have jumped into action, I just want to express a deep and profound thank you for you. And as Joyce said, there's no action that's too small. The only bad thing is inaction. However, I would also say that there is action in terms of taking care of ourselves and on our own tending and nurturing our own internal peace, our own internal sanity. And finding the ways that we have to do that, whether it's spending time in your garden or with your children or grandchildren or your parents or grandparents or with your friends, being with people or being away from people, taking a media break for 2 or 3 days, which can be very freeing. The reality of the world is much broader than what comes through your little our little television screens. So these ways of taking care of ourselves are particularly important in times like this so that we can be effective. And I want to honor and applaud people who are consciously and purposefully taking care of themselves and standing up for their deep-seated convictions in whatever ways they are able to do that. And finally, I really want to express a vote of appreciation and support for those who are the folks who voted for Trump with a hope of really shaking things up and changing things, because that's what often leads to a presidential election. People want to shake things up and change things, hopefully not in a white nationalist supremacist kind of a way, but just based on pain in your own local, in your own experience, in your own life. I hope and pray that there are outcomes that lead to that lead to improvement in people's lives throughout the country and throughout the world. And I don't yet know how that might be, but sometimes these kinds of shocking developments, like the election that we had, can be a catalyst for great and positive change. And that's what I'm putting my bets on. Long term.
And I want to, share some things so we end on a positive note, and also give inspiration to people to go check out that movement. I am so thrilled to know about that, because I can really get the word out as well. IndivisibleGuy.com. So I just want to read a few things that might inspire you to take note of that. Martin Niemöller, he was a Protestant pastor and social activist. This is a very famous thing that he wrote, and there's several versions of the same thing. So let me read one. When the Nazis came for the communists, I remained silent. I was not a communist. When they locked up the social democrats, I remained silent. I was not a social democrat. When they came for the trade unionists, I did not speak out. I was not a trade unionist. When they came for the Jews, I remained silent. I wasn't a Jew. When they came for me, there was no one left to speak out. So that's a very profound and impactful statement. And I just want to read two more. Afrika Bambaataa said the universal Zulu nation stands to acknowledge wisdom, understanding, freedom, justice, and equality, peace, unity, love, and having fun. Work, overcoming the negative through the positive, science, mathematics, faith, facts, and the wonders of God, whether we call him Allah, Jehovah, Yahweh, or Jah. So I thought that really covered a lot of bases, and this by Queen Elizabeth II. I know of no single formula for success. But over the years, I have observed that some attributes of leadership are universal and are often about finding ways of encouraging people to combine their efforts, their talents, their insights, their enthusiasm, and their inspiration to work together. So, folks, I know there's so many of you concerned about human rights, women's rights, gay rights, civil rights, all of that. And I often think of one person who is my hero in this regard, and that would be Rosa Parks, a frail woman who simply by refusing to give up her seat on a city bus literally had a lot to do with impacting the beginning of the civil rights movement, of course, you know, along with Dr. King. But here's this woman. All she did was not give up her seat. She ended up in jail for it, but she was a symbol of all of us who say, what can I do? What is the one step I can make? I have a friend, Alinda, out in Roosevelt Island, who told me about the group, as you were saying, Steve, even small groups can join this movement. I'll let them know. At Roosevelt Island, they just started a group being inspired by that extraordinary march all over the world to see what they can do. So we have to let our voices be heard. And today, I'm very grateful to you, Dr. Steve Fitzgerald, for having your voice be heard. You're always, a pleasure, an extraordinary person. I adore having you in your life and your partner, Drew, as well. And look forward to when I can get out to California and be your guest. Only problem with that is I hate leaving it to come back home. You're so good to me. So I thank you for that. So what message do you want to leave? What is your closing message?
Be the change you wish to see in the world. In how you're approaching this, you know, I think John Lewis provides such a wonderful model for all of us in terms of, you know, being a champion of change in lived action over time. And, you know, if I notice that I'm approaching this from a standpoint of judging, blaming, demonizing, discounting, ignoring, revenge, and all of those kinds of, if that's the kind of energy that I'm approaching an action with, what kind of an outcome am I going to be generating, both intended and unintended? I think it's very important for us to attend to to living in alignment with whatever our spiritual values are, you know, from whatever our faith tradition might be or background. Or just our values in general. And so, you know, be kind to yourself and to one another. Listen, seek to understand, not just to be heard. And that can be very difficult when the differences are so great. So I think that that is key to how we go about this, not just the action, but who we're being as we engage in the action.
Very, very well stated. And I want to cite again the words of President John Kennedy: if not us, who? If not now, when? And this is an original poem, in my words, to drive that point home. Joyce, Barry, and Friends, the number one worldwide internet radio show. This poem, an original by yours truly, is entitled, If Not Now, When? We are giving you the education. We are giving you the information. We are giving you the motivation. We are giving you the inspiration. What you really need to do is to put this into application. Do you want a transformation? You must use your imagination. It might take some perspiration. It's all in the preparation. You must really be sure there is no procrastination. It helps to have a fascination and very strong determination. You want a positive demonstration, achieve success in the administration. It really is the time. Give each show your consideration. What is your aspiration? What do you need for stimulation? To get healthy and off that medication, to get wealthy, it's your destination. So make today the day for your participation. If you do, congratulations. If not now, when? Make today the day for your participation. And once again, that extraordinary site is indivisibleguide.com. Thank you, Dr. Steve, so much for your participation today in this show. We will get that message out with that movement, that which I really knew nothing about, so I'm very grateful to you for that. And in closing, I want to share my special prayer for all of you. May yesterday be the last day, the very last day of your struggles, your suffering, your ill health, your misfortunes, your problems, your pain, your worries, your troubles, your trials and tribulations. May today be the first day. It is the first day of the rest of your life. May it be the beginning of the very best of your life, with extraordinary wishes granted and dreams coming true. Make this the most meaningful year of making more money, good health, good luck, good fortune, attracting special people and opportunities, creating magical memories, and manifesting marvelous miracles. So, folks, we pray for all of you. We pray for this great country of ours, America. We pray for peace around the whole world as well. And we want you to sing along with us, dance along with us, and laugh along with us. And you can do that starting right here, right now, to the Joyce Barry Mash.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I did know. From the speakers of my laptop, I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again. As Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
the Joyce Barry Mash.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun.
Wow.
She's a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can mash.
Do the Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Do the Joyce Barry Mash.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and Friends.